Well, good evening once again from Beacon Baptist Church. We've gathered here for our Wednesday night prayer service. Again, I'm here to an empty auditorium. We are under a stay-at-home order, and God has ordained this season for our lives. I was listening to a motivational speaker a week or so ago, and he was characterizing people in two categories, and I was a bit amused as I listened to him. He said there are people who watch things happen, speaking of people that are just passive and not really engaged. There are people who watch things happen. He said then there are people who make things happen. And I'm thinking, okay, is there another category here? And his purpose was to challenge everyone to be a go-getter, take initiative, have drive, have ambition, be someone who makes things happen. And as I reflected on that, I thought, well, I understand the purpose of his talking points, but what about those times that things happen to you that you have no control over? What then? And I thought of another category that perhaps is helpful for us as believers, not people that are watching things happen or people who are making things happen, but what are you learning about what is happening? What are you learning about yourself? What are you learning about God? You know, the Bible commands us to wait upon the Lord. I don't know how that fits in either one of those categories. Waiting is not a passive activity for a Christian. We wait before the Lord prayerfully, believingly, hopefully, trustingly. So tonight that would be my encouragement to you as we begin our service to just ask you, how are you doing? How are you responding to what is happening in our world? Does it cause you to draw near to the Lord? Has it caused you to buy up these opportunities, to redeem this time, to life is a little bit more unhurried? We have, would seem, more time, a time to prioritize, time to steal away, get away, to seek the Lord in earnest, in prayer, in Bible study. I trust that you are not wasting this time, not fretting this time away, not worrying, not full of anxiety. But perhaps this COVID-19 is exposing areas of your life that are weak and need strengthening, and God is showing you those things. I came across this hymn that we sing once in a while here at Beacon. It's entitled, I Ask the Lord That I Might Grow. Listen to the words penned by John Newton. I ask the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of His salvation know and seek more earnestly His face. 'Twas He who taught me thus to pray, and He, I trust, has answered prayer. But it has been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. I hoped that in some favored hour, at once He'd answer my request, and by His love's constraining power, subdue my sins and give me rest. Instead of this, He made me feel the hidden evils of my heart, and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. Lord, why is this? I trembling cried. Wilt thou pursue thy worm to death? 'Tis in this way, the Lord replied. I answered prayer for grace and faith. It's good to be earnest in seeking the Lord to grow in faith and love and trust. But when we are praying that way, it's God's prerogative to bring those things into our lives that produce that. And sometimes, particularly in these days, we begin to see weaknesses, and God exposes areas of our lives that are needing strengthening, need His touch, need His grace, need His power. So learn during this season. This too shall pass. A month from now, 2 months from now, we'll look back and have a completely different perspective than we do now. But we are still under a stay-at-home order. The governor of North Carolina has mandated that. There are restrictions. It'll be lifted in three stages, and we will see how that unfolds. The first stage is May the 8th, and as I read the specifics of that, it does not look to me as though that is going to change our situation at church. As I read it, it said the restrictions of limiting the number of people at a gathering of 10 would remain at that stage one, and then only at stage two, which is 2 to 3 weeks after stage one, would they begin to lighten that restriction. So we are in the middle of May before, it would seem, before there's any hope for gathering again as a church. Therefore, we've canceled our homecoming celebration with Dan Overly. We're sad about doing that, but just there's no way to plan for that. So that's been taken care of. There's just one announcement here, and it's a Right to Life Mother's Day ad. We afford that opportunity for our folks who gather here in worship to participate in that ad. And under these circumstances, if you would like to help sponsor the annual Right to Life Mother's Day ad and have your name listed, you will need to send your $5 by mail this year. You'll need to send it to Corinne, Corinne, Bivens, 509 Climax Street, Graham. That's 509 Climax Street, Graham, 27253. She'll need your information by Saturday, May 2nd. You'll need to give her your name, your phone number, your address, and your email address, and you'll need to make that check for $5 out to the North Carolina Right to Life Education Fund. That is the North Carolina Right to Life Education Fund. Perhaps when you tuned in this evening, you're expecting Pastor Parkman to be here, because I was here last Wednesday night, and that is what we had planned and purposed, but he needed to make a trip to Greenville, South Carolina, to see his mother, who's failing in her health. So that is where he is at, and that is why I am here. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, a couple of verses from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae are very timely for us this evening, printed at the top of our prayer sheet. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Two admonitions there. One, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And number two, set your mind on things above. So seek those things that are above, and set your mind on things that are above, not on the things of the earth. And it is easy to have our minds fixed and focused, laser beam focused on the things of this earth. And the admonition for the believer is to set your affections on things above, set your mind on things above. And we need that instruction. Let me share a prayer request this time. We are praising the Lord that Isabella Moody, granddaughter of Joe and Connie Moody, she was taken to the ER in Chapel Hill due to a high fever, 104 plus, and they were able to get her fever down. Still aren't certain why she had that elevation in temperature, but she's at home. They checked her for the coronavirus, and that test came back negative. So we're rejoicing with them about that. And again, I'm asking you to pray for Mary Barkman, Angela Boyd, as she continues this long road of recovery from her bypass, or not bypass, but multiple organ transplant. Drew Guthrie was transferred from Duke Hospital to Bryan Center in Durham yesterday. It's a rehab to home program. They're not sure how long she'll be there, but please continue to keep her in your prayers as she needs to renew and regain her strength. I know you're praying for Art Pope, Linda Spencer, as she's been having some difficulty with her back, Shirley Watkins, as she had an allergic reaction to some blood pressure medication and had time at the emergency room herself a week or so ago. Brandon Norris is a nephew of Larry Norris. He's recovering from an amputation of his one leg below his knee. I know you're remembering Jack Petrie as he continues dialysis and continues to grieve the loss of his wife Mildred. Oma Riley, this is Marseille Councilman's mother, is declining. Marseille was called to the care facility today to be with her mother, so please uphold Marseille and Bruce and the family during this time of declining health with her mom. I know you're continuing to remember those who have suffered the loss of a loved one. Continue to remember Joan Zenson and Ann Rose, the Henshaw family, and the homegoing of Carl's mother. And Jack Petrie, as I mentioned earlier, in the passing of Mildred. Under sympathy, we also have Hugh Doss. This is a brother of Joe Moody's neighbor who passed away last week. A new name under the cancer section. This is Durwood Owens, father of Sue Elliott's sister-in-law. Declining due to the growth of a tumor. Let me give you an update concerning Stuart Waugh. I got this text yesterday from Laverne. Waugh came from Eric Johnson, but it's Laverne sending it to him and then he to us. Laverne writes, things have been a bit hectic. We saw the hepatologist yesterday and he is worried because the cancer is growing fast. We can't get the radioactive pellets until the planes fly again, and that may be weeks away, so we are to see the oncologist later this afternoon to discuss the possibility of chemotherapy in some form. Hopefully that will slow the cancer down. He's about number 3 in line for the next liver, so we just pray for the Lord's provision at the right time. And we also need to pray that he can handle the chemo, as it can have some bad side effects. Thankfully, the Lord is our helper and our protector. From Sister Laverne. These radioactive pellets come from Singapore, and because of the restrictions of air flight, they're not able to get those to Johannesburg. So again, the Lord knows these restrictions. I thought about that, that he's number three on the transplant list. And that's no obstacle for the Lord. I remember Angela was 258th or something on the list, and when we learned that, it seemed so daunting and so almost impossible. And in a very short time, she was elevated to the top of the list and received both liver and kidney organs for transplant. So God is able, and we just continue to trust Him in this matter. I have a couple of prayer letters here. Let me briefly go over them with you. The one was related to Stuart Waugh, and I have firsthand information there from Laverne, so I won't read that from the director of IFM. My focus tonight is taking advantage of opportunities that this COVID-19 is affording us as Christians. And with that thought in mind, I want you to listen to these two letters, one from Silas and Vonger Campos in Brazil. He writes, "Dear friends in Christ, we hope this letter finds you encouraged in the Lord and corona-free. Today we held two funeral services, but none of them were coronavirus-related." He's talking about the number of cases of coronavirus and number of deaths, only 2,462 deaths registered there in Brazil. But he says more than 600,000 businesses have been closed, creating a large number of unemployed people. And he says, indirectly, this financial crisis probably will kill more people than the virus itself. And if you were here, watched last Wednesday night, I did a book review of John Piper's book, Christ and the Coronavirus. And he asks this question, "Have you heard about John Piper's ministry, Desiring God? Well, it gave us permission and the necessary funds to publish and give freely thousands of John's latest book, Coronavirus and Christ. Pray that God may use this message to edify His saints and save the lost." And then he says this, "We are taking the advantage of this situation to preach Christ." Taking advantage of the situation to preach Christ. Not that he's not preaching Christ all the time, but this is an unusual season. We're trusting that God will be preparing hearts as the foundations of people's lives have been shaken, and they're perhaps more open than they have been in a long time to the claims of Christ upon their life. So these are gospel days of opportunity. He says, "Over the last four Sundays, I, Silas, have been preaching to an empty church." Yeah, so have we. And they are, their people are accessing the sermon the same way you are. Computers, smartphones, and the internet. Listen to this encouraging letter from Henry Morris from the Institute of Creation Research. Again, think about my theme tonight, taking advantage of opportunities. He's relating a story. "Over a decade ago, this gentleman and his wife responded to a newspaper ad to serve as caretakers for an elderly widow. When they arrived, they found the lady seated at the kitchen table studying her Bible. Neither of them were believers. In fact, the man was quite hostile to anything religious, and he made it clear on the first day and said, while he'd be happy to care for her needs, he didn't want to discuss anything from the Bible. Why? She asked. Because, he replied, I don't believe anything that book has to say. She quietly chose to ignore his demand, recognizing that God had just given her a new field of ministry. And as the years passed, this sweet Christian lady persistently and lovingly shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with her caretakers whenever the opportunity arose. She and her late husband were faithful supporters of the Institute of Creation Research for over 30 years, and she would often use our resources to answer the man's skeptical questions about the Bible. To say she wore me down would be an absolute understatement, the man told me. And I'm thrilled that she lived to see my wife and I come to Christ. And then Henry Morris's short letter concludes, "The Lord called this great lady home just a few months ago. She was mostly homebound in her final years, but God blessed her faithful witness as she made the most of the opportunities she was given. There will be a great reunion one day in heaven between these three, and I am certain God used your support of the Institute of Creation Research to play a part in it. But God blessed her faithful witness as she made the most of the opportunities she was given." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for being our God. We thank you, our Father, that you ordain all things and that you are orchestrating all the affairs in this world to your eternal purposes and end. And we rejoice in that. We thank you that you are a faithful God. We thank you that you are mindful of our needs. We're grateful tonight that we have audience with you through the merits of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he has opened up to us a new and living way. We think of the Old Testament priest who only once a year was able to go into the Holy of Holies. And Lord, that access has been granted to every blood-bought child of God, that we have access to you any time of the day or night, into the very holiness of God, into your very holy presence. And the Lord Jesus Christ has made that possible for us, and we rejoice in our privilege. So we come tonight to intercede for others. We pray, our God, that you'd open our hearts and our minds, that you would awaken us to the needs that are around us, that we would be men and women who are redeeming the time, knowing that these days are evil, that you would embolden us, that we would be sensitized by your Spirit to be quickened and a new resolve given, that we would be faithful and steadfast in our Christian pilgrimage. Lord, there are people all around us who are bewildered, who are frustrated, who are worried, who are full of fear. And Lord, what an opportunity, what a contrast for the Christian to be able to speak of hope and light and confidence in God. Help us, Lord, to open our mouths and speak of the claims of Christ upon the lives of this world. Lord, we're mindful of people in our assembly who are in need. We would pray for Mary Barkman and ask you to minister to her in this season of her life. Lord, use this time and the family to accomplish good. Thank you that Pastor B could go and be with his mother. We just commit her to you and ask you to superintend her life. We thank you for answered prayer concerning Isabella Moody. We thank you for the improvement of Angela Boyd and the road of recovery that she is on. We just pray you'd safeguard her from any virus, anything that would infect and create illness to her. We pray for Drew Guthrie and ask that you'd use this time at this rehab place to strengthen her and to bring recovery to her. minister to her heart, Lord, and to her emotional needs at this time. Thank you for Brother Art, for Linda Spencer, for Shirley Watkins. Minister to these ones that we know and love and care so much about. We pray for Brandon Norris this evening and ask that you would minister to this man, not only to his physical needs, but to his heart's need of you, Father, that he would be sobered and humbled by this, and his heart would be turned towards you, and you would grant him believing faith that he might lay hold of Christ to the saving of his soul. We pray for Omar Riley this evening and ask you to be with her in her declining condition. Thank you for Marseille and Bruce and their love for her. And we commit her to you in this, what would appear to be our final days upon the earth. Lord, we're encouraged by the progress and the direction that Stuart Waugh is moving toward liver transplant. We would pray that you would continue to sustain him, that you would provide a suitable donor in your own time for him, and that you would be pleased to arrest this cancer that's growing and is threatening to make the transplant an impossibility. Give wisdom to the doctors. Thank you for clearing away these hurdles with the insurance company and getting all this clearance behind them. Thank you that he's trusting you, and we're trusting you on his behalf. We pray that you'll be with Laverne and help her as she's helping bear this burden with her husband. We pray for Sue Elliott's sister-in-law, Durwood Owens, and ask you to draw near to this one and minister to her needs. Lord, we are submitted to you. We are surrendered to you. We are shut up to you. Lord, you have ordained these circumstances that hinder us from gathering as a church, and I pray that you would safeguard our church family, that you would put your arms around them. We thank you that you are the great shepherd of the sheep. We thank you that you care for your own. So feed your sheep and protect your sheep and lead and direct and guide your sheep, we pray. And Lord, we long for the day that we'll be able to gather again in corporate worship. But until that day, keep us by your grace, keep us by your power. Do it, Lord, we pray, for the good of your people and for your own honor and glory's sake. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was thinking about tonight and the unusual circumstances that we find ourselves in, I was drawn to the Apostle Paul and his two-year house arrest situation in Rome. Now, we're not under house arrest. It may seem that way to you, but we're not. And it hasn't gone on for 2 years. It's been going on now for 2 months. The stay-at-home order. I find these words helpful and instructive in Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28, verse 17 to the end of the chapter. It says, "And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, 'Men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, wanted to let me go because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything of which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain.' Then they said to him, We neither receive letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think. For concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, Go to this people and say, Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their ears they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these things, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. No one forbidding him. These were less than ideal circumstances that Paul found himself in. And yet, Paul was not disillusioned. Paul was not sidelined. Paul was not distracted. Paul believed that God had ordained these circumstances that he found himself in. He was in house arrest in Rome. But it was a fruitful time of ministry, a fruitful time of gospel opportunity. And Paul's testifying of it here. And I think we constantly need to be admonished and instructed in these matters. Because when circumstances are less than favorable, there's 2 ways of seeing these things. Are they hindrances? Are they hindering us from doing what God would have us do? Or are they opportunities? Hindrances or opportunities? Well, Paul saw them as opportunities. In fact, Paul is writing, he wrote 4 prison epistles while incarcerated. He wrote the letter to the church at Colossae. He wrote the church of Philippi. He wrote Philemon. And the other one will come to me in a minute. But 4 letters. And in Philippians, listen to what Paul says. Listen to his perspective. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. He says to the church at Philippi, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Well, that first verse, verse 12, seems to suggest that his circumstances could have been taken differently. He says, he's writing, he's admonishing, he's encouraging, he's instructing the church at Philippi. I want you to know something, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Have actually. That word actually implies that someone could have interpreted these circumstances completely differently. That they were a hindrance to the gospel. And Paul says, they have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. And why would someone think they could be a hindrance for the spread of the gospel? Well, because Paul was on the go. He was a missionary, traveling missionary. Several missionary journeys. That's how he spread the gospel. He went and planted churches. And here he is, confined under house arrest. And it would seem that this would be a restriction, that this would be a hindrance. And Paul says, no, no. No, it's actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Paul was very productive, amazingly productive during this season of his life. And his life offers us an example of our own unprecedented opportunity during these unusual days of seclusion at home. You see, Paul had a desire to go to Rome. He wrote to the church at Rome about that, expressing his interest to go to Rome. He says in Romans chapter 1, verse 8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by some means, now at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. So Paul had a strong desire to go to Rome and minister to the saints in Rome. Now, he didn't know how God was going to accomplish that. He didn't know if that was in the will of God for his life, but he's expressing to them his desire. Well, how did Paul get to Rome? Well, he was shipwrecked, taken as a prisoner. And what I find interesting about that, when Paul was converted, and the record of that is in Romans chapter 9 on the Damascus Road, he'd been converted and instructions come to another believer. And listen to the instructions that come to Ananias. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So there is a revelation concerning the will of God for the Apostle Paul from the point of his conversion. that God was going to use him to bear witness before Gentiles and kings. Now, Paul didn't know what that was going to look like, but we see the fulfillment of that as we come to the end of Acts chapter 28, and we see him before Caesar in Rome, bearing witness under house arrest. And again, I love those last two verses of Acts chapter 28. Listen to this in another translation. And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. Unhindered. My New King James refers to that last word, no one forbidding him. So even though he was under house arrest, no one was hindering him, no one was forbidding him to be engaged in gospel preaching and teaching. Wonderful opportunities afforded to him, open to him, and particularly at this season of his life. The Lord used Paul under house arrest in a number of ways. Let me mention several of them to you. I've already mentioned his writing of the Scriptures, the book of Ephesians, the book of Philippians, the book of Colossians, and the book of Philemon. All four of those letters, those epistles, written under house arrest while he was in prison. They're known as the prison epistles. How else did God use Paul while he was in prison? Well, you're familiar with that little book of Philemon. Very short book, 24 verses, right after the pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and then Philemon. In verse 10 of Philemon, we have this. Paul is writing, and he says, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. Here is a slave, Onesimus, who was converted under the ministry of the Apostle Paul while Paul was imprisoned. We don't know how that transpired, but here's the testimony of Paul the Apostle. He's writing to Philemon, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. And I read to you from Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 and 14. God used Paul's imprisonment for the greater progress of the gospel. So, God is using and affording us opportunity in these days. These are less than ideal, it would seem to us. Not what we would prefer. But here we are. You're at home watching me on your computer screen or your iPhone, and we would much rather be able to gather here. But these are indeed days of opportunity. Now, we're not under house arrest like Paul was. We're under a stay-at-home order, and that's still in place. But despite these limitations, let's be men and women who are earnestly seeking the Lord. Perhaps more earnest in our seeking of God than we've been in a long time. Carving out time to pray. Carving out time to meet God in the Scriptures. To study His Word. To show ourselves workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So these limitations, and they are limitations. I'm not saying they're not. They are limitations. But these limitations provide for us opportunities that perhaps we have not considered before. So we need to be asking God, God, under these unusual circumstances, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to learn? How would you have me to engage my heart and life in ministry? I know one thing that's happened in homes where there's children, there is more of a concentrated relational interaction. Dad's not off at work 8 hours of the day, where mom's at home with the children, or the children aren't off at daycare. Moms and dads are home with their children. These are days of opportunity for discipling of your children. Don't miss that. Take advantage of that. This season will pass. Let's not have regrets that we frittered the opportunity away. Here are some suggestions for using these days to be more productive. Do you know anyone who doesn't have a cell phone? That's one of the things that just absolutely astounded me, and I still am astounded when I go to Zimbabwe. These people have so little of this world's goods, but they have a cell phone. Children have them. Adults have them. It's amazing to me. Now, most of them are flip phones, those old flip phones, but people have phones, and we should be using them. We can't meet, we can't gather one-on-one with people, but we can call, make phone calls, encourage one another. Pray over the phone. So, phone calls to encourage others. How about writing letters? Remember those? It's one of the things that was on Carly's to-do list recently. She said, "I said, what do you have to do?" She says, "I've got to write a letter to my cousin." And she was writing a handwritten note to her cousin. And she's corresponded with him since Christmas time. Writing letters, cards, emails. Just stay connected with people, affirm people, encourage people. Build one another up in the most holy faith. These are things we can be doing. And I've already spoken to you about extended times of prayer and Bible study, where we can get away without the normal demands of life upon us and to pray for longer concentrated times than we have previously done. God will meet you. God will bless those times. And concentrated times in the Scriptures, good books to read. If you have a desire for recommendations, call the church. Talk to me. Talk to Pastor Latour. Talk to Pastor Barkman. We've got a book room here. You can come by and get a book. We've got more books than can be read. So, and I mentioned to you last Wednesday night, Christ and the Coronavirus. You can go to Desiring God Ministries, download the book as a PDF file. You'll have the book, the entirety of it. Read it, pass it on to someone else, make someone else aware of the resource. It's timely, it's time sensitive. People are open, people will listen, people will read. So let's be engaged in ministry. And again, I'm certainly not very techie in terms of technology and knowing how to do these various things. But I applaud those that know how to create Zoom calls and conference calls. And so those of you that know how to do those things, take advantage of them. So God is affording these days to us. I have another hymn here that we would have sung prior to opening the Word. Listen to this hymn from Eric Alexander. Almighty God, we come to you. Almighty God, we come to you to seek your living word anew. Praising your grace that you have given this book to be our guide to heaven. Let the anointing spirit come to touch the lips that preach your name. With open hearts we now draw near and gladly bow your voice to hear. Lord, speak to us as we embrace your sanctifying word by grace. Enlighten minds by nature dark, show us the wonders of your work. From the foundation of the earth to give our souls a heavenly birth. Teach us of Christ, your glorious Son, made man that he might bear our sin, who drank our cup, died in our place, to justify us by his grace. O Lord, all wise, our teacher be, open our eyes that we may see the truth that comes from heaven's throne, and henceforth live for you alone. O Holy Lord, your presence give, and grant that we may hear and live. Let Christ alone exalted be, and in your word, Lord, speak to me. That's our desire. I trust God has spoken to you tonight. The government official of the week on our prayer sheet is President Donald Trump. And we need to uphold our president, our vice president, our Senate, our Congress, all political officials. These are challenging days, to say the least. Governors and mayors and all who are in authority. And we have these instructions in the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul's writing to Timothy. He says, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Here's a command, a priority of prayer, to pray for those in authority, for kings, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life. So as we come to the end of our service tonight, I want you to join me as we intercede for our nation, for our president particularly. Shall we pray? Father, we ask that you would hear our prayers as we intercede for President Donald Trump. Lord, you have exalted him to the highest office in the land. You have made him President of the United States of America. We thank you for Vice President Pence. We thank you for surrounding him with God-fearing men. And we would pray that President Donald Trump would be a God-fearing man, that he would be humbled by the office in which he occupies, that he would feel the weight and the responsibility that comes with the highest office in the land, that he would be sobered by his own human limitations, that he would be a man who would seek wisdom first from you and from others that have been made wise by you who surround him. That he would understand the principle that there is wisdom in the multitude of counselors. Lord, grant to him a non-combative spirit. Grant to him a peaceable spirit, a willingness to work with others who would be of a different political persuasion for the good of the country and for the good of the citizenry. Lord, I thank you for his life. I thank you for the way you have directed him, and we pray that he would be under your influence. Your word tells us that the king's heart is in your hand, and as the rivers of water flow, you turn it, the king's heart, whithersoever you will. That's our confidence tonight, that you are able to accomplish your will by working in the heart of those who are in these places of authority. We pray for the Congress. We pray for the Senate. We're troubled by the rancoring and the divisiveness and the party politics that has divided the country. Lord, we pray that you would bring a healing, bring a peace, bring a common desire to work together for the good of the people of America. Lord, we are, as it seems, at the Red Sea with the army fast approaching. And there are not many ways to turn. We pray that men and women would be turned toward you. The men and women would be humbled and caused to look to you. Bring a Holy Ghost revival to this land that would sweep from coast to coast, that would transform this United States of America, that would transform the churches of America, the pulpits of America, the houses of America. Lord, you have done that in the past. We read of the Great Awakening that transpired on these shores, on this land of America. And Lord, what you've done in the past, you can do again. Lord, keep us prayerful. Keep us seeking you. Keep us hopeful. Keep us prayerful for these that we're commanded to pray for. Bring healing to our land, Lord, we pray. Hear us, we pray. Continue to watch over us and keep us by your grace. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.